I love babies' language. And we've had several kids that we've raised. And we were just thinking the other day on some of the strangest things that they called things. There used to be like a grocery store that had a little horse that you would ride on. And for some reason, my one daughter always called it a shasha. She wanted to ride on the shasha. Somehow horse translated into shasha. And then I had another kid, whenever we wanted to build a snowman, for some reason, he called it a moo-moo. I don't know how a snowman turns into a moo-moo, but we were always building moo-moos in the front yard. And then, of course, I had a kid, the binky, that turned into a mimi. All these strange words that kids learn. But my grandson was over here the other day, and we were doing something. He wanted to react. He's 2 years old, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh my freaking heck." Now that's some kind of strange language. I don't understand how kids' language evolves into what it is. What are they learning from adults? How are they learning the words that we're doing? And what is that teaching us all about? If you have ever wondered, if you ever try to speak baby language to a kid or adult, get them to speak adult language to you, today is the day. You're glad you joined us. Welcome, everybody. I'm Darren.
And I'm Jeff. Welcome to The Voice Box. Our guests today are Mariam Nabavi and Carla Margalef Bentabol from Babbly, and we are so glad to have you here. Looking forward to hearing all about baby talk and what you can share with us.
Okay, first of all, you guys tell us exactly what is the purpose of Babbly. What are you guys trying to do? What are we learning here?
Sure. Yeah. Babbly is a data platform to track and support development in the first 1,000 days of life. What we are doing at the moment is we use a baby's voice as a proxy for their brain development, and we track different stages of speech and language development. Essentially, what we are doing, a lot of people will say you're developing a baby translator, which is kind of a baby translator, but with science in its core. We're working with speech pathologists and speech scientists to really codify what they've been, you know, practicing for decades, but build a machine learning model that can actually detect those utterances and provide insights to parents and healthcare professionals.
So when you're trying to track things, what are you listening for? Are you listening for a baby's goo goo gaga and trying to see what that turns into? Are you trying to see how soon they say certain human words? What are the things that you're like saying, oh yeah, we did that right there. We're learning something there.
Yeah, I think that. So yeah, what we track is, it's a lot of the goo goo gaga, because that has a scientific term that is called variegated babbling. So babbling, the way like from birth to adult speech, there's a lot of stages in babbling. So babies start cooing, then they do single syllables, then they start combining. So all those milestones are what we're tracking and are so important in development.
But there's a scientific, what's the scientific word for the goo goo gaga?
Variegated babbling.
Okay. And by the way, it's not just, you know, at some point you think, oh, they've grown out of their babbling stage. I've lived with Jeff my whole life. He has never outgrown his babbling stage. Okay. I'm just telling you right now, it continues well into adulthood.
But fun fact, actually. So if goo goo and gaga are at least a few seconds apart, they're actually duplicated babbling, two instances of duplicated babbling. So there's this whole, again, science of how babies combine, like Carla said, from when they're born, they start crying and then they start developing vowel sounds and then consonants, and how they combine these vowels and consonants has its own science.
Are you saying that crying evolves into vowels, that vowels come from crying?
So I can't exactly talk to how, you know, the muscles are trained to develop the vowels. I think, you know, that's something that a speech pathologist can talk about better. But essentially from crying, you hear a lot of sounds that sometimes they call them raspberry sounds or gurgling or, you know, random sounds that really makes us understand that babies are actually playing with their vocal cords. They're really trying to discover what kind of sounds they can make with their vocal cords and the movement of their lips and tongues. And so it's not like, you know, overnight that they start to develop cooing sounds. And of course, you know, crying doesn't stop. But in between crying and cooing, even after cooing is developed, we still hear sounds like like I said, raspberries, gurgling and other sounds.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about communication as well, right? Because we also know there's different types of crying after birth that like are meant to communicate different needs like pain or hunger, things like that, right? So it's all about evolving in communication, maybe not so much in the language yet, but it's still communication.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I actually interviewed the baby whisperer. You guys know the baby whisperer? She wrote some books back like 20 years ago. And that was the whole thing about interpreting different kind of crying things that, you know, what babies mean by that. So walk us through some of the development. What are some stages you're looking for? Is there, when does goo goo gaga become significant? Or is it significant from the first time they say a goo goo gaga? Or what are you learning from some of those sounds and vowels and consonants?
Yeah, so essentially, what we are looking for is when do babies start developing these different skills? So let's take, you know, cooing as an example. It starts around month one. And, you know, although we might hear a 12-year-old still making ooh and ah sounds, we would expect cooing to evolve into more consonant vowel combinations around month five. The significance of that really starts when they develop it. And the most important thing is to make sure that they develop those skills relative to their age, and they, you know, follow the typical milestones. Now, you know, typical milestone for every baby is, you know, plus or minus 8 weeks is kind of accepted as the norm if they're delayed by 8 weeks to master a particular skill. And there are multiple variables that go into that, you know, bilingualism, how much language a baby is exposed to, how much parents actually talk to them in baby talk. So about 8 weeks is kind of
premature babies as well.
Absolutely. 100%. That's a completely separate, you know, almost talk. But, you know, we want to make sure that a baby does start developing cooing sounds around month two. And we do want them to kind of evolve into combining consonant vowels by month five. And one key milestone is reduplicated babbling, which is the mama or dada. There is a whole body of literature that shows if babies don't have that skill by 9 months, and we don't mean one instant, one accidental production of that sound, right? Like it has to be consistent. So part of what we're measuring is the occurrence of that event at least consistently over 2 weeks. But there is a whole body of research that shows if babies don't have duplicated babbling by 9 months, it can be an early indication of developmental disorders. It doesn't necessarily mean we can do a diagnosis from that alone. There is, you know, that needs to be studied in the context of many other inputs, but at least it can be an early sign to, you know, refer a parent to their pediatrician or the appropriate professional.
So what are you doing at Babbly? Are you analyzing recordings that people have made, or do you have some, you know, a device or some software to make those recordings, or if I had a new infant, what could Babbly do to help me?
Wait, Jeff, are you making an announcement there? Are you and Tammy? Is this some kind of announcement you're letting everybody know about?
Not yet.
Okay. I'm on the edge of my seat now. Okay.
So yeah, we have an app right now, both iOS and Android, called Babbly. Parents can upload recordings of their babies, and we analyze what skills we found and provide relevant activities to either develop that skill more or like go to the next milestone according to their age and the skills we found. And we're also, we might integrate in other more ubiquitous devices, like maybe a baby monitor or something like that to make this easier for parents, because sometimes it's hard to catch the perfect moment with the baby. But yeah.
So is this something that, like, the end result, the consumer end result of consuming something with Babbly, this would be like I'm just hoping I understand this, like could be a monitor in the baby's room, and then the monitor powered by Babbly, the Babbly monitor would listen to the baby and like, oh, the baby should be 7 months now, they should be you know, speaking like XYZ. And then as long as it's working, it's saying, okay. And then does it then alert you saying, hey, this baby is now 9 months old and we haven't heard a lot of whatever that milestone is, and then alerts the parent.
Reduplicative babbling.
Yeah, that whatever that thing, the goo goo gaga, mama, mimi, moo moo, sha sha thing, right?
Yeah, that baby monitor is an interesting, you know, I think category of products. They haven't really been innovated for such a long time. We do see smart baby monitors in the market where they track baby sleep and they are providing parents with insights on, you know, what's the optimal time that your baby was in bed and or when they moved. But really fundamentally, they haven't changed in the value that they provide to parents. You know, 30 years ago, they were kind of like audio walkie-talkies around the home. Whenever the baby would cry, the parents would know. It's essentially around sleep and safety. In this future that Babbly is building, essentially, we do believe that these high-definition cameras pointing at the crib can do much more than just telling parents if the baby is asleep or awake, right? So what we want to do is essentially to give them 360 view of their baby's development. We're starting with speech and language. So the example you provided there, which is, you know, we do tell them over the past few weeks, for instance, here are the milestones that your baby has achieved. So let's celebrate that. Or we haven't heard your baby doing turn taking enough. Here's a couple of activities that you can do at home to really get it to the level that we want to see for their age. In the future, we do believe that, you know, there's opportunity for tracking other developmental milestones like fine and gross motor.
Does it matter? It probably doesn't matter if a parent, you were talking about the development of language. Should I as a parent be talking baby talk to my baby, or should I be talking adult language to my baby? What's gonna help? Should I be like
baby talk?
So absolutely. Baby talk. So I say Google Gaga. Baby, I don't say, would you like a beverage before you go to bed? I mean, I should do the mimicking them, right?
Well, what we call baby talk, you saw, is this like high pitch voice that you make when you see a baby. That is what babies need to hear 100%. Then in terms of the language, that's how like our speech therapists in the team have developed those activities. Depending on the age, in general, you should always use repetition, but also like try to expand the variability of words you use, not make it too complicated for the age. So it shouldn't be only gaga gugu. You should use sentences and words, but there is a lot of science behind it, and that's why we have all these particular activities. But definitely the high-pitched voice, absolutely, yes.
Okay, Carla, give me an example. Say, pretend I'm a baby. Pretend you're coming in. I'm in the crib. I'm 9 months old. You come in and I'm there. I just woke up. I want you to mimic exactly what you should.
I'm gonna leave this to Mariam. Mariam is better at this than me.
Okay, first I want to see Darren, how you're a 9 months old. Hi Darren. You're wakey wakey.
That's great.
Okay, I was not preparing for this, but but with all the, you know, all the jokes aside, I think that just like Carla was saying, high pitched voice is really mm-hmm. important. But what's also important is not to simplify necessarily your, I mean, it's a two-sided mm-hmm. thing. It's good to use simple language around children, and especially use repetition. So every time you see water, you want to say water with that, you know, high-pitched tone, and making sure that the baby understands the correlation between the sounds that you're producing and what's in front of them. But at the same time, there's also research that says, you know, narrate your day for the baby. Even if they don't necessarily understand or follow or can interact with you, it's good to expose them to as much language as possible. We call that language nutrition, or researchers call that language nutrition. So we don't want to necessarily limit the number of vocabulary that the baby hears, but we do want to produce the language in that interactive, dynamic, rich way of delivery.
So tell me what's the future? What's going to happen? Babbly, you talk about baby monitors. Are there some other things? Is this something that's going to be in a doctor's office? Is this something that's going to be end result that consumers have in their homes? What's the future that you guys picture with Babbly helping people and identifying stuff?
Yeah, the future that we believe in, and we think, quite frankly, should have been here by now, is today parents go to the doctor's office, they take their newborn, and they are given a set of questions as yes or no. Does your baby sit by themselves? Yes or no. Does your baby have canonical babbling? Yes or no. So the problem with that is parents are biased. They're not trained professionals to know, you know, something like sitting is obvious and you can report that quite accurately. But some of these milestones are really not that black and white. So a lot of the milestones are misreported, overlooked by the doctors. They don't have enough time in their office to, you know, do a full screening of the baby. So in the future, we want, you know, doctors to essentially say, show me your Babbley chart. And the Babbley chart could include data, you know, just like baby's height and weight, where you can see the percentile that the baby falls into based on, you know, a mass population. Similarly, we want to look at the baby's chart when it comes to speech and language skills, fine motor skills, things that are not necessarily easy to track and observe by parents, but are highly valuable in terms of understanding a baby's development. So that can happen between now and that future. It could be done through an integration with baby monitors. We're also doing clinical validation with our partners in different universities, because we want to give this to pediatricians and essentially have their endorsement. So that in this future, parents are encouraged to use a Babbley-powered product or potentially our software.
And can I ask you, is this in your dream world, is this something that a pediatrician has like 100 of these and they send them home with patients saying, hey, take this home and bring it back next time? Or is this something that I go on Amazon and I buy one and I just have my own? Do I check it out from a doctor? Do I have my own, or how does that work?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily we're married to how the device essentially fits in that future. The device could be, you know, if you have a Babbley powered baby monitor, in the short term, we're not planning to develop our own baby monitor, right? So we're partnering with existing companies that have smart baby monitors, and we want to integrate our AI into those devices to get this to as many parents as possible, as soon as possible. But when you look at the pediatric space, actually a lot of the innovation is happening in telehealth. So there are many startups that actually are developing prenatal to postpartum and beyond, you know, as the baby grows into toddlerhood, where they develop these frequent check-ins with the family. So families will subscribe to a service where they can send the baby data and get expert advice. So in this future, you know, Babbley is not only integrated in devices like baby monitors where you can order from wherever you order, but we're also embedded in every touch point that a parent has with their healthcare professional or, you know, payer, you know, insurance. And that way, you know, it's part of a larger, you know, package of parenting services and products.
Okay, before you go, we always ask everybody, since this is the voice box, if you had a genie in a box, you're going to rub the box, the genie's going to come out and give you any kind of voice technology wish that you want. Does anything pop into your mind like, oh, I wish the technology existed to fill in the blank? Does anything come to mind? What would you wish for speech voice technology for what you're doing?
I'll let Carla go for that.
Well, it's not about a specific use case for me. For me, it's like, I wish it was more inclusive and not always like the average age, accent, language, all that, right? Like, for example, when we started the baby space, there is like the typical voice recognition systems don't work for kids. They just don't, right? Same happened with different accents. It happened with elderly people. And then, yeah, if you change language, you change country. So I just wish it was more and more inclusive.
Can I ask, do babies have accents?
They do.
Like the goo-goo, the goo-goo, gaga, me, mama, does that sometimes actually have an accent?
They do. There are some research in Europe between babies like German, Spanish, and French babies. And they, even when they cry, they had an accent.
Goo-goo, gaga, goo-goo, gaga. Mia Baba, mama, whatever. I don't know.
Which language was that?
I don't know. It started German. It sort of morphed into Italian. I think there was a little Spanish. I don't know what that was. Miriam, what would be the, do one of those with like the high pitched voice thing? Me,
I don't.
I'm done.
That was a one-time thing.
I had to train myself as a mom when my son was young to just, like, you know, do that. Even though it might come natural to some people, it wasn't to me. So I was one of those people who was talking to my child as if he's a grown-up. And I don't know what damage I did, but...
Well, it's been fascinating talking to you guys. I wish you all the best with Babbly. And literally, this has the potential to really to change the way people parent and be able to give their kids the attention and the help and the resources they need and be able to track that. So hopefully we'll get Babbly into a bunch of monitors and be able to change the way kids are learning languages and parents are helping them, giving the resources. Thanks, you guys, for stopping by.
Carla, Miriam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Goo goo gaga, baba, bye bye.
Thank you for having
us. Bye bye. Thanks for having us.
So Jeff, I got to find out what are the biggest challenges in baby collecting baby data of babies' vocalizations and speech stuff, and as opposed to, because I'm normally 99.9% of stuff is what we're doing is adults and regular words. Is there a way to do that with baby stuff?
Well, okay, so there are a couple of challenges. The first challenge, as you phrased it, is collecting the data, because it's not like we have, like, for adult speech, there are lots of recordings of, you know, press conferences or audiobooks or television shows or whatever, where we can get recordings of people speaking. There are not a lot of corpora or cases of recorded baby talk at different stages of development and so forth. So,
and even in addition, when it's the human, but obviously, and like babies aren't humans, but it's when adults, you know exactly what the words are they're trying to say. Right. But when you're collecting baby data, you don't know what they're trying to say.
Right, right. You can't annotate it in the same way to say, the baby is saying, "I want a bottle," or whatever. So that's
for some reason, that's all we can think of a baby saying is, "I want a bottle." But okay, yeah.
So anyway, that's the first challenge. But a second challenge is that you have to model baby speech very differently. I've spoken with Carla and Mariam. I know that they're using more like, instead of speech recognition, their approach is more like acoustic event detection, where that would be like recognizing a person coughing or a door closing, but you hear a sound and you want to know what was that sound. And so in their case, they're not really recognizing words, they're recognizing different sounds that the baby might make. And as babies learn, when they're first talking, they have these primitive vowels and consonants that are not even really what we would think of as a, you know, maybe they make a B sound, but or it may be a G sound, but some of the more complicated other consonants, like a J or a D or whatever, it's not always clear cut what sound they were making. And as they're learning to make those different sounds, you still want to be able to recognize, oh, that was a consonant, that was a vowel, oh, that was reduplicative, you know, which that just means they repeated the sound. And so you have to have a new approach to thinking of what the words and the sounds are, how to annotate them, how to track them as they're developing.
And also, Carla mentioned the other thing about when her wish for the genie in the box, one of the things she also mentioned was accents, like baby accents. Is that even feasible to think about?
Well, anything's feasible with the right data. So sure, if we can figure out how to get data from babies that are developing in different countries, we'll be able to, you know, tweak those models appropriately. I suspect that for the first 6 to 9 months of development, there are not huge differences from culture to culture, but there are differences. Like babies in China are learning to speak with tones as they grow up, where that's not a thing for babies who are speaking English, and you know, so there are different aspects of language that babies will be learning in different cultures and in different languages.
So what are your thoughts when you hear about everything that Babbly is doing? Are you excited? Do you see the future? Do you see where they're going? Do you
I am really excited about it. I think it is one of the more interesting applications of voice technology that I see out there. and helpful and useful, but it is clearly different from, you know, building a voice interface for a smartphone or something like that. It's a clearly different kind of technology, and it's going to require different data and different approaches to modeling that data. And so I wish our friends at Babbly all the best. I hope to see good things come out of that.
By the way, how would it be? I'm keep trying to get confused with when a baby says bye bye. How does it say bye bye as opposed to baba? Because a baba would be the bottle, but how would the baby say bye bye? Is that
I don't know that babies actually say bye bye very often.
I'm just trying to think of some way to sign off for the podcast. Do I just say baba? Do I say bye bye? Because bye bye just sounds like bye bye, like an adult's gonna say it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think you are free to make up your own baby representation of some sign off.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. I'm Darren, and bye bye. Is that close? Bye bye.
It's close enough. I'm Jeff. We'll see you guys next time on the Voice Box.